KROQ 955 season countdown continues. Time to talk all things Drysdale. The Hawks last year making a move up the ladder as they finished with an 11-7 record to finish sixth, a game and a half outside the top five. Haven't played finals now since 2013. It's a bit of a drought, but two men who are hoping to turn that around in their second years as coach are, of course, Luke Matthews and Daniel Jell, who have been good enough to join us in the studio. Flybes, hello to you.
Thanks, Kingy.
Great to have you here. And Jelly, good to see you as well.
Thanks, mate.
Jelly, straight off the top, let's get it out of the way. I know you're sick of being asked about it. Where is your football at? Obviously, you've had the concussion issues over the last few years that have limited your game time. Haven't seen you on the park. Can you give us an update on where you're at and do you hope to play football again?
To answer that, try and keep this short. Yeah, it's I'm hoping to play. It's just a matter of ticking a few things off. I've been able to up my exercise and been able to join in training, which has been really good and positive for myself. Still seeing the doctors down at Epworth, and they're sort of running me through a few different things, and just got to get rid of the headaches, I guess, full time, and then I can look at playing. So, yeah, I'm not exactly sure of a time frame, but we'll just sort of see over the next couple of months.
Okay. You've seen the Polly Farmer story with the CTE, and then obviously other players have come forward saying they donate their brains post-life for research. Does that make your decision tougher when all this stuff's factored in as well? Do you get a bit of that external noise about the seriousness of it?
Yeah, it does. It sort of it makes it pretty real. Like, you got your family and stuff to think about as well. So it's not just sort of me that I've got to sort of worry about. So yeah, sort of seeing those things, it sort of puts it makes you think a little bit more, and I'm very dictated to about what the doctors sort of say to me. They've sort of said that, you know, this can happen again, but it may not. So I'm not quite sure exactly where I'll be, but the next couple of months will probably determine whether I'll play or not. If I can get myself right, or then I'll push to play. If I'm not right in the next couple of months, then I just won't play.
Okay, so will that then just be retirement? And
yeah, that'll be it, yeah.
You're done. I know you've done a lot of media around it, so we won't harp on it, but fingers crossed for you that you do get that chance to play again. So I hope everything goes well in the next couple of months and we see you back on. Is that sort of, when you say a couple of months, do you say sort of maybe by that first bye in mid-May, is that where you might have a bit of a time frame or a cut-off point for it?
Yeah, if I have made some serious inroads by then, well then it's too late, kind of thing. I'm not going to waste everyone's time worrying about, you know, whether I'm going to play or I'm not going to play. It's sort of, that'll be the time, roughly around May, whether if I haven't made it, whether I can have got rid of the headaches. I mean, so if that sort of still remains, then I won't be playing.
All right, let's talk footy in last year, 2019. Just looking at your record, gents, you were 4-6 against the top five. You finished a game and a half outside the top five and playing finals for the first time since 2013. Flybes, did you see something in your game style last year that just didn't stack up against those top echelon teams? I know you beat four of them, but 4-6 is not the record you want against your fellow finalists.
Definitely. I think, you know, probably there's two games early on in the season, obviously Torquay and Motowari, that probably we lost it ourselves, those games, which, and we always probably knew that was going to come back and bite us on the bum, and it did later in the year. But we were competitive against all those top sides. But I think really stripping it all back, like last year, I know we recruited a lot of top end players that come to the club. We were coming from a long way back, so I think the biggest focus last year was just trying to change the culture of the club and get guys believing, changing their attitudes, changing their mindset, and believing that they can compete against the top teams. You know, and it was disappointing we didn't play, make finals in the end. But in some ways, it was probably a good thing. The pre-season's just been fantastic because the guys are hurting from last year. They know they missed out on something where they could have, you know, anyone that top six on their day, if they got there, could have, you know, won a premiership. And Bowenheads did that in the end, and they were, you know, really quality outfit. But the group's really hungry after what last year. And last year was a real eye-opener for them. You know, and this year they want to build on that and take their game, you know, game style to the next level.
Is there something you've worked on, guys? Jelly, is there something that you sort of, you know, we can do this better, that should hold us in good stead?
Yeah, we've been focusing on our ball movement a fair bit over the over the, I guess, the summer. And I guess in those big games against the quality outfits, they were, their defence was able to really stop us and didn't allow us to actually move the ball with any freedom. And, you know, we've got some quality forwards up there with Garthy and Hebb. We just weren't able to get it down to them quick enough without actually teams sagging back and dropping numbers in the hole kind of thing. So we've been trying to work on that a little bit of training, and but we'll have to sort of see how it pans out in the season when we play against these teams.
You've already had one hit out. You went down to Warrnambool, played against Portland. What did you take out of that?
Yeah, it was really good. There's lots of promising signs. You know, we probably had a fair chunk of the senior team missing and even reserve team. Like, we've been really fortunate with
it. You didn't have to really pull the boots on, did you?
No. Them days are well and truly gone, King. And we're really fortunate we've got high numbers, so that helped out. But as Jolly said, you know, ball movement's been one of the big focus in our defence, and you know, everything we've been training for, you know, that was the focus of that game, you know, regardless of the result, and everything that we've been training for and the focus that's been on, you know, we executed it really well in the practice match. And you know, the next one against Cobden this week and then so forth against St Albans, we really want to step it up and keep increasing it. And yeah, it's exciting times. And yeah,
let's have a look at the recruits. A couple have landed in your lap. I suppose a lot of people will see Flynn Chisholm's name, and Jolly, you would have played with him at St Mary's, but he's also working in town. I believe he's a doctor.
Yeah, he's a doctor.
And Doc Walder, who you're president, working at his clinic, I believe.
Yeah.
So I suppose sometimes you just need those connections with recruiting, don't you? But Flynn hasn't played he's played no footy in the last 3 years.
Yeah, that's right. He hasn't played in the last 3 years. Played a little bit up in the Gold Coast prior to that.
Yep.
But yeah, hasn't played for the last 3 years. Moved down with his work. Able to get a job at Drysdale at the clinic down there. And then, yeah, sort of fell in our lap a little bit. Got some mates that I guess he played with at St Mary's.
So Joel, Hebbard, Eddie, Nolan. Yeah,
I guess a few of those guys, easy transition to the club. And yeah, thankful for him coming on board.
Yeah, how's he looked at training? And I suppose when you haven't played footy for a while, has he found his touch pretty quickly?
Yeah, that sort of side of things has been, you know, pretty good. His movement's still there. He did, I guess, injured his hamstring a little bit, so he's just been off on the side, I guess, the last week and a half, just doing a bit of rehab. But prior to that, you can still see he's a quality player, and we'll look to sort of get the run into him and get the training into him, get him up to the level he needs to be at to be playing his best footy, and then he'll really show his colours, I reckon.
Yeah, should be right round one though.
We'll see. Yeah, he probably needs to play probably a practice match, I reckon. Considering he hasn't played for 3 years. We don't want to rush him and injure him and make it a long year for him. We want it to be enjoyable for him.
Okay. James Bruce, how did that come about, Flives? And tell us a little bit about him, because he's got a good CV.
He's got a great CV as a footballer, but as a person, he's just an absolute ripper.
Now, is he a podiatrist?
He's an osteopath.
Osteopath.
Similar sort of thing. You know, he picked up work at the Ballarine Sports Medicine Clinic. I believe he was talking to a host of clubs down the region, and you know, we're really fortunate that he chose to play at Drysdale. He's just a ripper.
I think the words used in recruiting him, this is my spies are telling me, was look at the size of the population in Drysdale and the work you're probably going to get out of this region, and that might sway your decision.
It possibly may have been it, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not too sure. You know, me and Jolly stay out of that sort of stuff. But he is just an absolute ripper. Like, he's just fitted in from day one. Like, the first time we met him, you get an idea of people, and he's just such a bubbly, happily, friendly person. Really keen, and you can just tell from the high level of standard he's played. Like, his training standards are just unbelievable. And the guys just, you know, gravitate to him. He's just an unbelievable person. We're really fortunate to have him. But playing wise, you know, midfield forward, he's going to be a very, very handy player for us. And you know, it's probably another good selling point for the competition to get players like that into the league.
Is it true that the local publican's wife played a role in Macklin Rain joining Drysdale?
Yes, that is.
Did he walk into a shop that Mrs. Lay was working in Barwon Heads, and conversation started, and the next thing you know, phone numbers had exchanged hands.
I believe it was something like that, maybe at the Barwon Heads pub on a Sunday or something. Macklin was down looking at houses because him and his partner have moved to the area, and probably right place, right time. And then, yeah, we jumped on the blower and one thing led to another and got Macklin down the club as well. And he's going to be huge. You know, he's a young guy. He's played a lot of, you know, he's played VFL football. He's played Southern League football, playing a premiership at a young age. So he's a man of mountain. He's, you know, 6 foot six and probably 120 kilos. He's a really, really big boy. But like Bruce, he's another quality fellow. And, you know, these two guys are in their young 20s, mid-20s. You know, we don't want to get them to the club for 1 or 2 years. We want them to play their careers and be involved at Drysdale for a long time, you know, still be playing in 10 years' time and, you know, making success at the club.
Jake Alderding's back from Thompson. Dre Baddix is back. Matty Gunn comes in from Leopold. Fletcher Sharrock from Ocean Grove is a handy pickup. But a couple of guys that started the year, Shane Murdoch started very early but was gone. Jolly went back to Central Australia and has returned best and fairest winner in 2018. And then Chris Lynch, who you lost after about round 12, was probably the biggest loss of the season for you, wasn't it, losing him off halfback?
Yeah, those two were massive. Murder, Shane, he was, fantastic prior to that in 2018, played a few games, and then he was always going to leave. He had that organised with his partner to go up to Alice Springs. So we're really thankful for him to come back to the club and be a part of it this year. And, Lynchy, he was really, really in good form to that sort of midway point where when he went overseas. And he was a big loss and probably someone who drove that sort of back line and was a really good communicator and leader down there. So, you know, with him sort of coming out, it left a bit of a hole. We did miss him a little bit. So we're, again, really looking forward to seeing him running around this year and the same with Shane.
Yeah, absolutely. Would be remiss of me not to ask, and he floated it himself, and I do speak of Reece Holwell after he won the Whitley medal last year, that he was done basically at Thompson in terms of his coaching with he and Brent Taylor. Brent Taylor's come back as an assistant coach. Flybs, you know Squizzy and Reece better than most of us. Can you give us an update on where Reece is at with his footy? Is there any chance of him, the fairy tale coming true and him wearing brown and gold in 2020?
Yeah, like, I suppose me and Squiz have been trying really hard and talking. He's probably sick of answering our calls. And there probably is a small hope, and you know, we'd all love to see it, not just probably me and Jolly and Squiz and the playing group, but a lot of people at the club. You know, he's Drysdale boy through and through. You know, he's been a great servant of the club, and you know, he went away to Thompson, did some magnificent things there with Squizzy. So it'd be great for him to have one last crack and come down, or you know, for a few years. But not just as a player, I think he'd have a massive impact on the playing group and young individuals, you know, guys coming up from the Colts and so forth. Only he can make that decision. I think he's just loving the fishing and his other activities he loves doing.
Would he be in your best 22?
Oh, I definitely think so. You know, that's just my opinion. I definitely think
Jolly, would he be in your best 22?
I think he would. He's playing some good footy, and he obviously won the Whitley medal, so he's in good nick still.
Yeah,
and he's always fit.
I think that's the thing with Reece. If he's going to do something, anything in life, he's going to do it to the best of his ability. He's a really competitive person, and if maybe not midfield, maybe pinch hitting in there, but forward. But I tell you what, if I wouldn't want to be a backman running around with a footy in my hands with Reece Holwell chasing you down.
Have you sort of said to him, mate, look, we need to know by a time frame?
Oh, no, I just probably let him make that decision. He's old enough, and that was sort of the pressure. I think being a one-point player, and we've probably been fortunate enough to recruit the way we have, there's no real pressure. It's up to him, really, if he wants to. There's no real put a deadline or a time frame on it. It's up to him, really.
Yep. You talk about one-point players. Obviously, Flynn Chisholm comes as a one-pointer.
Yep.
Which is how good's that when you get a player of that quality?
Quality. Yeah.
When he what potentially out of the quaffle, if you played in the last 3 years, be what a three or probably four.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot easier. You guys playing with 40 this year?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, 40.
So 42 last year?
43 last year we were.
Is it a bit of a juggling act?
It probably will be. It will be. But I suppose we looked at it a fair bit in the recruiting thing, and you know, we want to form the best list possible. There's going to be hard calls made, and I think if you want to be a top team in a really strong club, you've got to make those hard calls. And we want, you know, to make guys, we want to be picking a team that everyone's playing their best football possible, not just gifting people games. that's the thing with the points, I suppose. It evens it out, but there probably will be hard choices made at some point during the year, but you can never predict injuries and form either, so...
Charlie, as you well know, Drysdale produces good juniors. Have you got any kids coming through that we need to be keeping an eye on in 2020? Anybody that might have come out of the 19s or the 17s that's going to step up and play a bit more senior footy this year?
Yeah, we had three juniors playing the game against Portland. Jack Taylor, Jermaine Calblister and Billy Collins. So those guys, really, really impressive over the pre-season and trained all the way through with us. And as I said, still eligible for under 17 footy, but... yeah, we might see them, you know, possibly throughout the year. They've done a lot of work and shown some, shown a lot of ability on the track. And also Jack Preece, coming back from the Falcons, he'll look to try and push into the team as well. He played a little bit last year at the start of the year, and, yeah, he'll probably look to try and get into that senior side, I reckon.
Yeah, anybody at the Falcons this year?
Will Kilpatrick will be on the list again, yeah.
Yep. So is he there as a 19-year-old? Was he top
age?
No,
he'll be top age.
Okay,
yeah.
So you might see him, you might not.
Yeah, we probably doubt. Oh,
probably
I don't
doubtful.
Know.
It'd be nice too, but I probably the other thing is too, you probably want him playing Falcons all year as well for his future. You know, you never know of drafting or whatever.
Well, and obviously he's eligible father-son with Geelong, with his dad Glenn, of course. So Taylor, you've mentioned obviously one of the more famous Drysdale surnames. That's Chris's son, Jack?
No, that's...
Quinn that played last year.
I don't know if they're a relation.
I don't think there is a relation.
There's a lot of Taylors down there, so sometimes you don't know who's related to who. Sometimes.
All right, let's have a look at your first month. Queenscliff, Barwon Heads, Torquay and Port Arlington. So they've given you 8th, Premier, runner-up and 10th in a mixed bag to start. But I suspect you won't look beyond Queenscliff in round one because you just don't know what they're going to serve up. But you're going to know after three rounds where you stand when you've got the reigning Premier and the runner-up from last year.
Yeah, definitely. Like you probably said, you know, we don't want to look too far, you know, beyond Queenscliff. That's the first hit out. You know, they were decimated with injuries last year, Queenscliff. They've still got a good list and they've recruited pretty well, as you know, like all the clubs have, really. So they're a bit of an unknown, really, at the moment. But then Barwon Heads, you know, they've strengthened their list again, and Torquay as well. So definitely that first 3 weeks is going to be a very solid hit out, and we'll probably... Yeah, know where we're sitting after round three, and you know, early wins are really crucial. And I think you know, last year the playing group would have learnt from that, from the early losses, crucial losses we had. That you need to get those early wins.
Yep. Talk is Jared Garth is in outstanding condition. How much better is he going to be this year for, I suppose, another pre-season with his teammates, Charlie? But also for the fact that you know, barring obviously, I think he got injured round one last year, he might have pinged a calf. That he could really push towards, you know, obviously Jordan Erskine and being that number one key forward in the Bellarine.
Yeah, Garthy's quality. Like he had a ripping pre-season last year, and it wasn't till that last 5 minutes against Queenscliff where he did his ankle, and that probably stopped his momentum, I guess, for the next probably 4 or 5 weeks. So yeah, I guess he's been looking really good at training again against Portland. He was fantastic, kicked a handful of goals and looked really dangerous. So yeah, fingers crossed we can just keep him healthy. And I think if he's healthy all year, then we're going to see a really, really good Jared Garth.
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't... we'd love to see a ton or, you know, a couple of key forwards kicking tons. Erskine and Garth, obviously, are the two that come to mind in the Bellarine going into season 2020. Gentlemen, we appreciate you coming in and having a chat to us. Jolly, we wish you all the best. Hopefully the symptoms start to dissipate and we can see you playing footy again, because Bellarine footy will be better for it when you're back out there. So good luck with that, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks, mate.
And Flybe's always a pleasure to talk footy with you, and we wish you the very best for season 2020.
Cheers, Kingy.
Luke Matthews, Daniel Jell joining us, the co-coaches of Drysdale. Next in our season countdown, catching up with Winchelsea coach Brendan Forsman.